Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Jesus our King. Amen. Some of you may remember before the days of really high technology that railroad crossings used to be marked with a big wooden X, and across the X would be written railroad crossing and then three words: stop, look, and listen. Some enterprising engineer early on in the days of railroading figured out that those three words might be helpful even for folks who didn't know a whole lot of English, that they'd be able to understand that this was something that was a sign and that they needed to pay attention and they needed to react and respond in a particular way. Of course, now we have automatic gates and flashing lights and things that go down and warn us in different ways. But the idea of the sign still, I think, carries some force in our culture. And the three command words there, stop, look, and listen, I think are useful for us to remember. Because Advent stands as a sign for us in the midst of our lives as Christians. Advent is a time to stop, to look, and to listen. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to focus on each of those three words. Today, of course, is stop. And the section of scripture that I want to focus us on is from Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah is quoting God, and he says, "Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Is a little bit of fear good sometimes? According to a newspaper article, all the way back in 1850, the United States government established a new commission that regulated lighthouses. This commission was required to make lighthouse inspections, rigorous, white glove kind of inspections. The lighthouse keepers lived in fear. Fear for the time when this inspector would come by ship and they would inspect the entire lighthouse facility, evaluate the lighthouse keepers, and even check out the lighthouse keepers' families. These inspections were so feared that the keepers of one lighthouse longed to get the word out to neighboring lighthouses so that people would be prepared for the coming of the inspector. Of course, unless one lighthouse was in the sight range of another, it was virtually impossible until the days of the telephone. As a result, the lighthouse keepers kept everything neat and clean, and even more important, functioning perfectly in even the worst weather. Years later, the descendants of the keeper of one of those lighthouses said, "It was sort of like the coming of God. It was like the second return of Christ." The newspaper article concluded by suggesting that a little bit of fear might be useful sometimes. Some of the harshest words in the Bible are recorded by the prophets in the Old Testament. They are intended to sound an alarm, to strike fear, respect, and perspective in the hearts and in the minds of complacent and overconfident people. On many occasions, God sends out warnings and judgments upon the people who had turned away from him to follow other gods and to follow the ways of the world. God was not going to just sit down and watch all of this happen. Instead, he was active, warning, directing, rebuking, and even promising punishment for the purpose of putting a kind of holy fear into the hearts of his people. This is what we call his alien work, the proclaiming of the law, with the idea that the people might see all of the awfulness of their own ways and repent and return to God. Sort of the idea that if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you need to do is stop digging, right? In the first chapter of Isaiah, the word of God to people who are digging themselves a hole, the people who have rebelled against God's desires, who are practicing empty religion and offering meaningless sacrifices, is stop. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong and learn to do right. The season of Advent coincides with the month of December, which for many Christians is a time of preparation for that celebration of a special holiday, Christmas, the incarnation of our Lord. And it's good and pleasing to God to celebrate the birth of His Son, to rejoice and remember that great gift of God for us. But how often are we distracted by all of the worldly values of this holiday? Satan seems to be working overtime to distract us from things that are really important. And so the season of Advent, the month of December, becomes a time to be consumed by all of the things that need to be done, by racing to Christmas concerts and shopping malls. And we make lists and check them twice and decorate our homes and send out Christmas cards. Someone has observed that the season leading up to the celebration of Christmas is one where consumerism is king. He says we purchase things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't really like. And in our hurry to fulfill all of the things that are demanded of the season, we so easily forget our God who makes all of this celebration possible. And so God comes to us in the season of Advent and He says, stop. Stop what you are doing. Be prepared for the return of Jesus. When He comes not as a child in a manger, but as our King and our Judge. Shortly before Jesus went to the cross, He gathered His disciples around Him, and they were asking Him, what will be the signs of the end of time? What kind of signs would tell them that the end of the world was near? And Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and there will be earthquakes and famines and storms, and nations will be in anguish as they look around at this. There'll be wars and rumors of war, and people are going to be anxious because of all the bad things that are happening around them. And then Jesus goes on to say that this is only the beginning of the end. And He makes a very curious command. He says, don't worry. Instead, recognize that God is in control. And lift up your heads, because all of this means that your redemption is getting even closer. The season of Advent invites us to stop and remember that Jesus is coming. And His return will be joyful for those who trust in Him. There's a second reason for us as God's people to stop in the season of Advent. In Psalm 46, we read, be still and know that I am God. In the hurriedness of our modern lives, we need to be still, to stop, so that we can reflect and recognize what is right and good for us. We are God's people, given His own Holy Spirit. By God's grace, we know Jesus to be the true God. And yet at times, we're still tempted to head in different directions, ways that are not pleasing to God. It's important for us to stop and to listen to what God is saying to us and to remember our identity as His beloved children. And then to remember what God expects of us, His people living in a sinful and troubled world. So Advent is a time that is created for us to slow down. In the same way that God designs a Sabbath day every 7 days to rest and to reflect on the nature of God and to worship Him, the church has long recognized the benefit of having a season, a penitential season, Advent, to reflect upon God's grace and love in the birth of His Son. Advent is kind of like a yearly Sabbath, a season that is designed for us to rest and to stop and to reflect. When we reflect upon God's love for us, we recognize that we are a people of uncommon and unreally imaginable resources. We live in a nation with unparalleled material wealth, and by the standards of the rest of the world and the history of the world, we are abundantly blessed. We are a people who have been given very much. And even more importantly, in addition to all those material blessings, God has given us His Word. And He reminds us that we are His people in the waters of holy baptism. He gives us His promise of acceptance and His forgiveness. And as His people, it is good for us to stop and to be still and to recognize God for who He is and what He has done for us. Advent is that time to reflect and refocus on what is important. And when we reflect upon our own lives, we see that God is right. We have strayed from His ways. We have done things that are evil in His sight. And if we're honest with ourselves, we admit that God has every right to be angry with us. Our thoughts and our actions are colored with sin, and we need our hearts and our minds to be changed because we have offended our Heavenly Father. But God's message for us today is more than simply stop sinning. He wants us who hear that call to stop to also hear the invitation to go. Go to the Lord. Go and be reconciled. Go and share the hope of Christ. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. According to our sinful nature, we are lost and hopeless. And yet, God reaches into our fallen lives, and He washes our sins away, much like that soggy snow covers over all of the driveway, no matter how hard you're trying to shovel it away. God continues to pour out His grace and mercy upon us, that we might be white as snow, white as wool. God could have simply said, you know what, I've had it with these people, I know what they're going to do, I'm washing my hands of this entire thing. But God came through for us with the message of hope and the promise of the Savior. We have the blessing of being able to look back over 2,000 years to the time when God kept His promise and when He sent His Son into our world. A time when God fulfilled through His Son every single requirement that was necessary for the salvation of every single human being. And because we're forgiven, we have the blessing of knowing that God does not hold our sins against us. And so we can reach out to others in our world with forgiveness. In the season of preparation for Christmas, many families have strained relationships. Someone has offended someone, and someone got angry, and now people aren't talking anymore. No one knows how to respond. As Christians, we're called to approach conflict with humility and love and respect, recognizing that we are not always perfect, and our status with God is not based on us always doing the right thing. And we can ask for forgiveness when we have erred, and we can, with confidence, seek reconciliation with others. Advent can be a time for healing, and Advent can be a time for sharing the hope that we have because of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus calls His followers the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He's given us great blessings, and at the same time, He has high expectations for us. He gives us the power and the strength that we need to make an impact on the world that we live in. And this season is a wonderful opportunity to share the hope that we have, to share the true meaning of Christmas, that many around us may know the compassion and mercy of our Almighty God. Because more than ever, our world needs the good news of who God is and what he's done for us. Paul Gerhardt was probably the second greatest Lutheran hymn writer. He lived in the mid-1600s. One of his Advent hymns has this as an inner verse. I've always really liked this verse. It's a prayer to God. But Gerhardt says, "Love caused your incarnation. Love brought you down to me. Your thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. O love beyond all telling that led you to embrace. In love, all loves excelling our lost and fallen race." Love is what the season of Advent is about. The love of God for you and me. And that love is proclaimed as we observe Advent, as we celebrate God's love, as we reflect on his grace, as we stop and look and listen. May the Almighty God, our merciful Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you in this season of Advent as you prepare for the coming of the King. Let us now worship our Lord and Savior through the giving of our tithes and our offerings.